You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome back to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Pleased to be joined by the coach. Y'all know who he is. What's going on, Coach Shipley? How you doing, brother?
Hey, doing good. Enjoying this nice spring weather we got going.
Yeah, no doubt. And I didn't even mention that the genetics are pretty damn good, too. He's got some Lifetime Longhorns also that in his genetic gene pool that have been pretty impressive on the 40 acres, Jordan and Jackson Shipley, in case you don't know. So in addition to all of his accomplishments, his kids are also very accomplished as well. So, kudos to you, Coach. Kudos. If you got any Shipleys y'all got out there that are pretty athletic, just send them on to Texas. I know y'all got a bunch of them out there, man. Just send them over to Texas. We'll take any Shipley. Shipley's, Ichos, McCoy's. You get into them legacies like that, we all good. We'll take them all day, every day. No question. Yeah. How you doing, though, Coach? You doing all right?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's great.
That's good, Coach. I would be remiss if I did not mention the other project that Coach and I have going on that we are really excited about, the winning drive. Coach calls it the championship drive. It is Coach, myself, and CJ Vogel. Great. It's on Mondays and Thursdays right now. We go from about 4:15 to about 5:30. You know, if it gets crazy, it gets popping, we may go a little bit beyond that. But we're just talking ball, having a really, really good time. So you want to tune in for that, too. But, Coach, I mean, we obviously had a lot going on now. It's Texas spring football. It is upon us. So if there's anything that, you know, that you want to discuss spring football-wise, you just throw it out there. We'll get into it. But I got a couple of topics that I want to get your thoughts about. I was talking to an NFL scout, and there's something that we discussed about Quinn Ewers that I want to get your thoughts about, too. It's becoming a popular, trendy term for NFL scouting and evaluation of quarterbacks. I want to get your thoughts about it. And Sark had his media availability, the post-practice press conference, where he talked about a lot of different things. But one comment in particular really raised my eyebrows. It really got me going because it's something that I've talked about for a long time. One of my football theories that I've thrown out there for a long time. And I believe Sark now is considering it in his roster construction. So we'll discuss that too on Football Theory. Before we get started, we have to, and we're proud to and happy to thank our wonderful sponsor, Laura Baker. Football Theory is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So give her a shout today if you have any questions, concerns, or any business here in Austin when it comes to real estate. 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. All right. Quinn Ewers has got, he's got some things he's got to improve on before he can be projected to be a number one quarterback taken in the draft, but he definitely got the physical tools. There's no doubt about that. He's got to work on the deep ball. We know that. Apparently the deep ball looked really good in the first practice of spring ball, which, you know, Coach, we overreact to everything. The durability you talked about, he's got to play an entire season without getting hurt. NFL scouts want to see that. Something else that NFL scouts want to see, and they've been bringing this up a lot, it's a new term, and I guarantee it'll become a stat sooner rather than later, is sack avoidance. And if it was a stat, Patrick Mahomes would lead the NFL in it. And if it was a stat, truly, Michael Penix might have led college football in it. he had, and you remember that, Coach, watching him, even against Texas, ask Byron Murphy, ask, I believe it was Ethan Burke that had a clean shot at him one time, and he just has these very subtle movements in the pocket, very subtle, to maneuver and just and create enough space for himself to be able to make an accurate throw down the field. And he doesn't see the pressure. He feels it. He's still keeping his eyes downfield, and he feels it. And I think that is something that Quinn's going to have to work on. I guarantee you when Quinn's coming out, there's going to be a scout, and they're going to start bringing up the term sack avoidance with him and if he's good or bad at it. And what the analytics have shown, Coach, is that with some quarterback, it came up with Justin Fields recently because he has the highest sack rate in NFL history, or one of the highest sack rates in NFL history. And they talked about in college, he had a 23.6% sack rate, sack to pressure rate, or pressure to sack rate, if you will. And in the NFL, it is a 23.2 pressure to sack rate. So it is something that they believe translates. Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, 11.3 pressure to sack rate. And against in the NFL, in college, it was 11.4. So 11.3 in the NFL, 11.4 in college. They believe it. These things translate. Caleb Williams, they're looking at his sack rate now, pressure to sack rate, and trying to figure out, okay, is it going to translate to the NFL or not? And if that is the theory, that it just is, that's something that actually does translate, your pressure to sack rate in college could end up being the very same or similar to your pressure to sack rate in the NFL. Michael Penix Jr., 9.4. So he is considered elite pressure to sack rate. Quinn Ewers is around 30%, according to Sports Info Solutions, which is really high. So my point is this, I would like, and he does have a tendency to look and stare down pressure instead of keeping his eyes downfield and feeling the pressure as a quarterback. And I think that's going to be one of the things now I'm adding to the list for him to work on, sack avoidance as a quarterback. I think it's something, he ain't got to be elite at it. I'm not asking him to be Patrick Mahomes or Michael Penix, but he needs to be better at it. Maneuvering in the pocket, eyes downfield, feeling pressure so that he can still make some of those throws.
Well, again, it goes back to that DKR term. It's a factor that is really hard to put words to, that
yes,
presence back there, that it factor. And, you know, when you can tell when a quarterback doesn't have a lot of confidence in his offensive line because he'll start bailing out quick, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't see Quinn doing that, and I think that's good, although sometimes he may stay in there a little bit longer than he should. He's athletic. He's not Penix athleticism, but he is athletic enough. I think there are some ways that he can improve on that statistic. But I agree with you 100%. And that's what Penix does so well. His eyes are down the field, and somehow I've worked for coaches that used to call it, you know, a low beam and a high beam. You know, got your high beams on, but you can still it's kind of like, we have an innate ability. Well, horses have an innate ability too. When they're running, they don't have to look at a hole to see it. They glance at it, they know where it is, and they could, you know, we're the same way. We don't have to look at the ground the whole time. There may be rocks and stickers and curbs.
That's true.
We don't have to be looking. We can see it. We're not looking at it, but we can see it, you know. And to me, it's the same way with the quarterback. You know, you can see it, you can feel it, but with enough film work and enough pressure work and practice, avoiding the sack and practice, I think you can fine tune it. And I kind of think that's where he's at.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I love what you said. Basically, it's your peripheral vision, right? That's your periphery there. You can see it out there. I mean, Coach Aquino, that's crazy. Coach Aquino would always talk about that. He'd say, hey, man, you can't always be able to see. You're going to be in direct line of vision. Sometimes you're going to be you have to triangulate. I got to watch the quarterback with the three step, but I need to be able to feel. And when he talked about feel, he was talking about periphery vision. Feel that number one receiver. You got to be able to feel him a little bit. And if he starts closing that cushion on you while you're looking at that quarterback in zone coverage there, then you got to be either ready to snap your eyes back, or you got to be have that innate sense to be able to feel that guy and how quickly he's closing that cushion in on you. It's interesting you bring it up, because Coach Aquino would talk about that too. And it's an eerie, weird thing. But when it happens, you know it as an athlete. You go, oh, yeah, I did. I felt it. And you see it in the NFL all the time with quarterbacks. They'll have their back turned to a guy that's rushing them. You've seen it with Penix. And they there's no way they got their eyes downfield, so there's no way they see him directly, but they do feel him. And feel him is like that periphery vision, that peripheral vision, and you can just kind of make those subtle movements. It's great athletes, man. Being great athletes is what it is. Yeah. And that's what we're asking Quinn to do, be a better athlete in those situations. I think he's got that in him too. All right, Coach, but there's one more subject I want to get into here in football theory, because I can pick your brain all day about this kind of stuff. But Sark, in his post-practice media availability, he had a lot of interesting comments. But one of the things I thought that was really that really stood out to me in his comments, he talked about the versatility of the team. So I'll just read the quote here, because originally they were asking him about the versatility of ways to win. Like last year, you won with a defensive goal line stand. You won, you know, with clutch, a clutch conversion, you know, on offense. You won a game that way. You won a game by, you know, choking Bama out and choking the clock out with the run game late in the fourth quarter. They just won in a lot of variety of ways. They didn't win in just one way. They blew teams out. Yeah, they just blew some teams right out of the water. They were asking about that, but then he branched off after being asked about that during the same response, and he started talking about the literal versatility of the team, like his players and how versatile they are. And here's that quote. He says, I will say just first glimpse offensively, we've got some really versatile players offensively, and from a receiver standpoint, we were moving guys from outside to inside, playing them in the slot, playing them outside. We moved our runners around probably more today than we have a first practice of spring ball, and trying to play to their strengths as well. And I think that helps when you've got really experienced quarterbacks who really understand the offense, and he can manage some of that stuff with the line of scrimmage.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So he's talking about how versatile the personnel are. He said, man, we're moving these guys around more than we ever have this early on in the offseason in spring practice. One of my football theories is that, you know, positionless football is probably it's going to be the future of football. More and more, we're getting to more hybrid players, guys who are versatile defenders, versatile players that you can move around the chessboard, engineer matchups, manipulate matchup advantages is what you're trying to do. And Sark, by the way, does a lot of this on offense. And that's why he recruits running backs or brings in running backs that are great in the passing game as receivers, because he says the most underrated most underrated factor in the passing game are running backs in the passing game. He's on the record for saying that. So all of his running backs can be receivers, and not just receivers in the short passing game. He's got Jaden Blue running wheel routes downfield, taking vertical shots with those guys. You know, you go look at a guy like Bijan last year and the way he used Bijan all around the chessboard. He wants receivers that can play inside, that can also play outside, right? He says he teaches all the wide receivers every position. But I think now they're going that route on defense too, Coach. You go look at it. There are reports that Jade Barron is working corner, star, and safety. There are reports that they're going to continue to move Anthony Hill around in certain situations, right? Have him rushing off the edge if they want to, have him moving around a little bit, so have some versatility. I love the way they use Ethan Burke. I think they use Ethan Burke in that way too. They move him around a little bit. Sometimes he's up in the 2 points. Sometimes he's down the 3 point. But even the DBs that they've recently brought in, Makuba that they brought in, that's a guy that can play any position in secondary. Dabo Swinney said that, and Sark called him versatile. He called Kobe Black a three-position player. He called Jordan Johnson-Rubel position flex. He said Santana Wilson has versatility. He's a versatile athlete. He said that all of his DBs that he recruited have the ability to play coverage and play man coverage, whether they end up at star, safety, or corner. I don't think it's a coincidence that he's mentioning versatile and versatility more, that he brings it up offensively now, that he's bringing it up defensively now. I think this is now one of their main tent poles in their talent acquisition philosophy. I think they want more versatile players because versatility offers you solutions. Rigidity, that often presents problems because you got too many rules you have to follow. But when you have versatility, you create depth, but also you have a lot of guys you can move around the chessboard and present problems to the opposing side of the ball. You are a coach, so was versatility, how much of an advantage can it be offensively and defensively? Do you believe this is something Texas is moving toward more of, having more versatile athletes on both sides of the ball?
There's no doubt that they are. And the key in anybody that's going to be a versatile player, the key is always they have the same common denominator. It's athleticism.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's speed, but it's usually athleticism. I remember, you may be too young to remember, a running back for the Cowboys named Preston Pearson. Preston Pearson was a guy, late 12th round pick. But he was a very versatile athlete, and they wound up putting him in the backfield on passing downs. Almost, he was a passing game running back. He was good at protection, but he was great at catching the ball out of the backfield. That's the first time I remember it. Ironically, the first time I remember H-back was also with the Cowboys, Jay Novacek.
Yeah.
It was a tight end that they started flexing and started splitting out. And, man, you just become so much more versatile, you know, when you have athletes like that. And when you look at the athleticism we're recruiting, tons of it starts with the speed and the quickness, you know, of those type of guys that can become versatile players, whether it's running back, receiver, returning punts, returning kicks, you know, running reverses, all that stuff. I love the athleticism that we're getting on this team, which obviously, as we've already mentioned, presents itself to having players that are multiple position players.
Yep.
And then I think you always also have to look at the scheme. And I know there was a movement about, I don't know, maybe seems like 15 years ago. Time goes by so fast. 15, 20 years ago, where everything was so wordy.
Yes.
I mean, everything was so wordy, and still, it still is in the NFL. I don't know if you ever heard of those quarterbacks go through
one of their John players. Gruden used to do it. Remember John Gruden would do it with people?
Yeah. And it's like, are you kidding me? Well, so in college, coaches have become friendlier with offenses and probably defenses too. There's only so much you can do defensively, but offensively into user-friendly terms, user-friendly schemes, the plug-and-play type guys, you know, where it's not so hard because, I don't know how you do it with such long terminology for one play unless it's just you just memorize it, you know, and you have to know what. Okay, well, here's that. There's one word in those 30 words he said that applies to me. I'm at the slot now. I'm not at X. So which one, you know? So, but now a lot of times people will just tag terms, you know. I know that's what Art Briles used to do when he was at Stephenville. That he'd have a play and he'd call it Mikey Special. He'd drop a play for Mikey. You know, it's a reverse pass to Mikey.
That's it.
Yeah, and so he just go right, Mikey Special. Well, guess what happens when he goes to Baylor? They're still running Mikey Special, and that's what they're calling it, Mikey Special. So he obviously had a lot of success offensively at the college level with production, and he kept it simple.
Yeah,
it looked like he was doing tons of stuff, but he just named that, and so you have to understand the concept. The route concept and what each position's job is in that concept, because you know, and a large percentage of the people running routes on a pass, all out pass play, they're just diversions. I mean, they're just trying to get somebody to open up where a guy can come up underneath and get in or whatever, you know. So you have to understand those concepts. And once you can teach it from that standpoint, this is the concept. This is what we're trying to do in this. We used to have a route we ran all the time to a two-receiver side that was called scissors. The inside receiver He's basically going to run a corner. All right, you're trying to get the safety. The outside guy is going to be a little wider. He's coming up underneath on a vertical post, you know. And so he doesn't want to go all the way across to the backside safety. So he wants to kind of get vertical in that post. Once that safety's gone, then you kind of have a thing that looks like a scissor. So we call it scissors, you know. Just things like that. Just understanding that terminology. Understanding what the object of each play is and how it all fits together. So you can plug and play great athletes with a lot of athleticism. And, man, it frees you up as a play caller so much, you know, because, every time this guy goes in at this position,
makes you predictable.
Now you don't know. Yep. You don't know what's coming because you're moving guys all over the field. And you, I'm sure, can attest to the fact that drives you crazy, man, because you used to be able to pick off teams with the formation, their splits, their stance, all that stuff. Now it's out the book.
Right. Yeah, that's what I love. I mean, that's from the defender's standpoint, I hate about it. But from an offensive standpoint, I mean, having guys you can move around the chessboard, you essentially will violate defense's rules. Defense are built on rules. There are certain rules that essentially bind the structural integrity of a defense. Positionless football on the offensive side of the ball can violate those rules and break those rules, which can completely collapse the defense because they're built on, hey, this player's in the backfield. He's being defended by this guy. When this player is here in this position, he's going to be defended by this player, this player. But when you start moving guys around the chessboard, you can make life hell on a defensive coordinator. That's a good point there, Coach. And just to end it here, I will say this. The Denver Broncos, they recently signed Brandon Jones and also Lil Jordan Humphrey and Malcolm Roach. They now have five Longhorns on the Denver Broncos. And this is what kind of sparked this conversation to me initially. I think Sean Payton is also a fan of versatile players. We know that, right? Go look at the team that he had there with the Saints. I mean, Longhorn fans know very well some of the weapons that he had there. But he's a guy that liked versatile weapons, whether you're talking about an Alvin Kamara. He have guys who can move around. Jimmy Graham, he moved around a lot as a tight end. But as a guy that, hell, he wants complaint. I think he had an actual a complaint that he filed against the NFL because he wanted to be considered a receiver because he had the stats of a receiver. And he said, I was never lined up in line as a tight end. I was always in the slot or always out wide. Anyway, the NFL denied his complaint. But either way, it shows you Sean Payton. He likes guys he can move around, right? Taysom Hill. Yeah, exactly, right? But think about the guys he brought in, Coach. Malcolm Roach. You remember Malcolm Roach?
You bet.
Didn't Malcolm Roach play every position on the front seven?
Yeah.
DN, D tackle, played outside linebacker, inside linebacker. Remember Lil Jordan Humphrey? Lil Jordan Humphrey played that flex tight end spot. They have him at wide receiver. Is a guy that played that. At one time, I had him at Wildcat, running some Wildcat rhythm, coming out of high school.
Well, he was quarterback. Yeah.
So another versatile guy. Hell, Brandon Jones played nickel and played safety at Texas. So did PJ Locke play nickel and safety, came in as a corner. I think Sean Payton is a guy that likes just versatile athletes, versatile football players, period, offensively and defensively. And I think Sark is also trending in that direction, too, where he wants more versatility. So that's what kind of inspired it. So shout out to the Denver Longhorns, basically. You got a lot of them up there.
Yeah, and it's a good bang for your buck, you know, because you don't go get, here's my speed guy. Okay, here's my possession guy. Here's my go-to guy on third down. He ain't going to beat anybody deep, but he's dang sure going to get open and catch the ball. If you can get all that rolled into one, you're saving money.
Yeah, great point. Now, that is another good point, too, especially in the NFL when you got a salary cap. Yeah. There's no doubt. All right, before we get out of here, let's thank our sponsor one more time. Football Theory brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So give her a shout today at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. Thank you to Laura Baker. We appreciate her support. And thank you, Coach. We appreciate the knowledge each and every time, man. I leave here a smarter football fan and football theorist because of you. Also, I want to remind everybody one more time, Mondays and Thursdays, Coach CJ Vogel and myself will be doing the winning drive. Coach calls it the championship drive. I can't agree more. But we do it from 4:15 to about 4:30. It's a good time. We're talking ball, especially doing spring football. We're having a lot of fun with that. So reminding everybody about that. But until next time, for Coach and for Laura Baker and for the Owen Texas football family, hook 'em.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.